Buenos dias, amigos. So good to be with you all this morning, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity to share God's word with you. And also wanted to congratulate all the fathers on Father's Day, and praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for our fathers and for our Heavenly Father who gives us all good things. But it's a special day. We know dads are so important for the growth and development of our children and every aspect of their lives, and especially in their relationship with the Lord. But thank you again for this opportunity to come share the gospel and God's word with you. It is an honor to be here. And this morning we're going to be looking at a wonderful passage in Mark chapter 6, where Jesus shows his love and compassion to each one of us and to all peoples, and the importance of teaching God's word accurately so that everyone can understand it. Colleen and I are going to be involved, as Steve mentioned, in the work of training pastors in Latin America and other parts of the world, in Africa, also in India. We're going to be going to India in December to be able to equip and train pastors and church planners and missionaries who are nationals to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And that's what it's all about, right? To be able to equip Christians to take God's word and take the gospel and plant healthy churches and win people to Christ. So we're so happy to be involved in that work, and thank you all for your involvement with us. And so let's begin by reading Mark chapter 6, and we're going to be reading verses 30 through 34. So Mark chapter 6. Let's begin there. Verses 30 to 34. The Word of God. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while, for many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And then they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things." So let's pray the Lord would bless the teaching of his word this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the grace of God. Thank you for what you've done for us in Jesus Christ, for our salvation, for our sanctification, for giving us new life through faith in Christ, that you've saved us, that you have blessed us, that you have given us a new heart, a new spirit, a new life. And you've given us your word as a lamp to our feet, and as bread, living bread, as food for our souls. And we just pray that you would speak to us today, that you would open our hearts and our minds, that we would hear from you, and that you would change us to be more like Christ. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we're going to be looking at the importance of good teaching. And we know that that fathers have a big role in teaching, and we're celebrating Father's Day today, obviously. But in this passage, we see the importance of good teaching modeled by our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ. So I wanted to share with you three basic principles from this text, and it's very interesting. And the first one is Jesus' concern for us, for you and I, as his disciples. That's kind of the first thing that we see in this passage in verses 30 to 33. But we need to kind of look at the context a little bit more in chapter 6. And remember that earlier in chapter 6, Mark chapter 6, Jesus had just sent out his disciples on a preaching and a healing trip. This is one of the first trips that he sent them out on. They've gone out, they've preached the gospel, they've shared, they've ministered, they've healed in Jesus' name. They've seen God do great things in and through them, ministering the gospel to preaching repentance and faith in Christ. And so it's kind of like a short-term missions trip, you know. They're in Israel, and they come back, and they're super excited. They've been ministering to people. They've been serving the Lord. They've been working for Christ, serving Christ, but not much break. And so you can tell they're getting tired out. They're getting exhausted. Because verse 31, you know, tells us clearly, it says, many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. So they couldn't even stop at, you know, Burger King and get a, or Chick-fil-A and get a, who likes Chick-fil-A better than Burger King? Okay. couldn't even get a Chick-fil-A sandwich or a hamburger to eat. They couldn't even stop to eat. It was just nonstop ministering. And they're even in danger of burning out. So, as it says, many were coming and going. So they were meeting many needs. And in the Christian life, we can, the Lord obviously calls us to serve Him and to minister to others and to bless others. But Jesus is also concerned about us and our spiritual life, our spiritual vitality, our relationship with Him. And we can sometimes, if we're not careful, getting so busy in our you know, American lives, to get so busy that we can get burned out. And the Lord shows His concern for them, and He shows His concern for us in verse 31. He says to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." When I think of a desolate place, I don't think of like an ugly, you know, place that's terrible to go to. It'd be maybe a quiet place, a place of nature, a place where there's not a lot of people, where they can just rest and they can be renewed, they can be rejuvenated. And that's what Jesus wants for them. He wants them to be to be able to rest a while and be to be renewed. So Jesus was concerned about His disciples. They had been working nonstop, and He wanted to give them some well-deserved rest, relaxation, some renewal. And He loves you and I as His disciples, and He does not want us to work ourselves so much, so busy, that we lose our spiritual joy, our spiritual vitality. And that, speaking as a pastor, as Steve said, I pastored the Hispanic congregation at Briarwood. Colleen and I started it in 2000, and it can be a grind, and you can get burned out. So the Lord has given us Sundays as a day of rest. He calls us to rest. He calls us to even take vacation. I think vacation is a very healthy thing, to go on vacation as a Christian. He is concerned about your physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual well-being. Because if you're stressed out and you're getting burned out, you're not going to be in a good place to minister to other people. You need to be able to. I think one of the key things in this is that God wants you and invites you and I to enter His rest. To enter His rest. And we were studying today in the Sunday school, Hebrews chapter 10. But in Hebrews chapter 4, it says there remains a Sabbath day rest, or Sabbath rest, for the people of God. And that whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works, as God did from His. So the Lord invites us to enter His rest through Christ, through trusting in Jesus Christ, through resting in Christ and His finished work, His love for us, that we can receive the power, the strength, and the joy to serve Him. Amen? Amen, brothers? In the Hispanic church, we'd always say, amen. And they would say, oh, amen. Gloria a Dios. We should be resting in Christ as we go about our daily responsibilities, as we work, whatever our calling is, our jobs, or being a father, being a mother, being a teacher, or whatever it is that God's called you to do, to rest in Christ and receive His strength to do that. But on this particular occasion, the disciples and Jesus couldn't rest, because Jesus' ministry had become so popular. The fame of His teaching and healing ministry had spread everywhere. And when the people see them cast off on their boat, probably in the Sea of Galilee, they're going across the It's really a big lake in northern Israel. They go across to the other side. When they see them leave the shore, cast off, all the folks start speeding around the lake to meet them at their next destination. They figure, oh, he's probably going over to the other side of the lake. So we're going to all meet him there. And they spread the word to all their family and their friends to come and see Jesus. And so when they arrive to the other side, they have a huge multitude of people waiting for them. It's kind of like Billy Graham crusade, you know. Because later on in this passage, Jesus feeds the 5,000, and that was only counting men. There's probably about 15,000 people here, counting women and children. So you're talking about a huge multitude of people waiting for them. So what does Jesus do when he arrives the other side? Does he say, "Oh, hey guys, I'm so sorry. I know y'all made this long trip, but we have our company retreat here with my leadership team. So please come back again, you know, later this week after we have our retreat and have our rest time, and then we'll minister to y'all." Is that what he does? Obviously not, right? He takes time out of, even though they're tired, takes time out of their schedule to minister to all these multitude of people. So a question for you and I, are we, first of all, are we resting in Christ day to day? Are we so busy that we kind of just say, "Oh, hi, Lord, good morning, hope you're doing well," and then just speed off to our responsibilities? Are we taking time to really fellowship with Jesus in our devotional times and resting in Christ during the day? And do we take time out for people as they interrupt our schedules, as they have needs, or we can just maybe spend time listening to them or talking with them? So that's the first point. Secondly, Jesus shows his concern for all people. He shows his love for all the peoples. Look at verse 34 here in chapter 6. It says, "When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd." And the Greek word for compassion means to be deeply moved with sympathy or compassion, kind of in your gut, you know, just deeply in your bowels, feeling it in your emotions, just a compassion or pity or sympathy for people who are suffering or in need. And Jesus was moved with compassion for these people, and he loved them. He loved them dearly. And why is that? The text tells us, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So I don't know if anyone here's anyone seen sheep or sheep without a shepherd? They're not too common here in the U.S. In Spain, when we were missionaries there, we sometimes would see shepherds taking their sheep through the different fields and so forth. But in Israel, sheep without a shepherd were in great danger. And if you've ever seen sheep in person, if they don't have a shepherd, they're in really bad shape. They wander around, they get lost. In Israel, there's not green pastures like here in Alabama. There's just dry, arid places. So you need a shepherd to show you where the pastures are, where the green grass is, where the water is. They get worn out. They can't find their pastures. They can't find food. They get discouraged. They get disease-ridden, and they're easy prey for predators. They're miserable, and they don't understand the dangers that surround them. Those are sheep without a shepherd. And that is the spiritual state of people in this passage and in the world today. People without Christ. People beat up by life. People addicted to drugs, alcohol, pornography, workaholics, marriages on the rocks, rebellious children, people who are struggling with sin, and we struggle with sin. And praise the Lord that we have a shepherd who loves us and who cares for us. But there's people out there who need that shepherd, who need Jesus and his care and compassion for them. He cares about them as he cares about us. He loves us and them and is concerned for them, whether we're rich or poor or black or white, Latino, legal or illegal, male or female, young or old. We all need Jesus. And he loves each one of us so very, very much. And he came to save sinners like you and I. And we need to come to Christ. If you've never come to Jesus Christ and receive Christ into your life as your Lord and Savior, he invites you today to receive him by faith into your life, to ask him to come into your life and forgive your sin and give you eternal life. There's a great illustration about the gospel. What is the gospel? And just basically two books or two lives. And the first book here represents all of us. You know, you kind of have the cover of the book, which represents our sinfulness before God. You know, the black cover, you know, our thought life, our thought, word, and deed. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And because of our sin, we are separated from a holy God who does love us. But we all have that problem of sin, which separate, and we are dead in our sins without Christ. And then you have the other book here, which represents Jesus Christ, the only man in history who lived the perfect life, who never sinned, who obeyed God's law perfectly every single day of his life and fulfilled that law for us. So we can say that the cover of his book is white, so it's perfect, it's holy, it's has no sin in it. So, what did God do for us at the cross? 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that he who knew no sin, God made him to be sin for us. So our sin was transferred, we all know this, to Jesus Christ on the cross, and that he died for our sins. He paid the penalty for our sins once for all, to forgive us of all of our sins. And he died, he was buried, and he rose again. But the good news that sometimes we forget or don't hear about is that the perfect righteousness of Jesus was credited to our account. And so that we receive the righteousness of Jesus as a gift through faith in Christ. And so the Bible says that he who knew no sin, that would be Jesus, God made him to be sin on our behalf, so that in him, in Christ, we might become the righteousness of God in him. So now God looks at us as perfectly righteous and holy and accepts us with the righteousness of Christ. What amazing news that is. What great news we have that it's by grace and we positionally, the Lord looks on us as not only forgiven sinners, but as heroes in Christ, because we have the righteousness of Christ. As our new dress, we could say. So praise the Lord for his goodness in the gospel. We can share that message with others. So thirdly, what is Jesus' response when he sees the needs of these people, when he sees the brokenness and the misery, the sadness, the suffering? His response is to begin to teach them many things. And obviously, he's going to teach them the gospel. We need to teach people the gospel, but he teaches them many things. Verse 34 says he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Matthew's gospel said that he healed them of their diseases and their afflictions. So he had a holistic ministry of teaching and healing. And I think one of the greatest ways to share the good news is through works of sharing the love of Christ in practical ways with people, you know, having a medical clinic or taking them to the doctor or listening to them, demonstrating Christ's love in a practical way is very, very good. But one of the most important roles that we have as fathers, speaking about Father's Day, is to teach our children, just as Jesus taught his disciples and taught the people. We're called as fathers to teach our children and to be a good example for them. And if you're a grandfather, I know how many folks here are grandfathers. We just became grandparents in January. Our first granddaughter, Elsie, was born. And what a joy to be a grandparents. But to be able to teach that little girl about Jesus and teach them principles from the Bible, how to grow in their faith, how to love the Lord, how to serve the Lord. As fathers, that's our main calling in life. The number, to me, it's more important than our job, is to is to be a good father, to raise our children in the Lord so that they can follow Him and grow in Him. But what an impact we as fathers can have in the lives of our children to help prepare them for their future and to help them grow, to come to know Christ, and to love and serve Him with all their lives. So, you know, what did I learn from my dad, thinking about fathers? I learned integrity, honesty, loyalty, hard work, being a man of my word, being a good friend, loving my wife as Christ loved the church, loving my kids, just being there as a father for your kids is huge for their growth and development. Just being a father or a grandfather. So thank you, all you dads out there, all you grandpas out there, and all that you mean to your family, to your children, and to your grandchildren. Continue to be a blessing for them. So the importance of good teaching and modeling that. And, you know, speaking of the good teaching, the love and care that the people in this text, what they needed and what we need above all is to be guided and taught by the Son of God. We can be guided and taught by the Son of God today and tomorrow, each day, because we need for the Lord to teach us through His Word, which is the Bible, through His Spirit, using pastors and teachers who are well-trained and qualified to teach and preach the Word of God. And also, as we read our Bibles and have our devotional times, the Lord wants to teach us and to shape us and to transform us. So